Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message.
Hello, Calvary family. What an honor and privilege it is to be able to share these moments with you and to be able to come to the Word together and just to look at what the Lord will say. But first of all, before we jump into the passage, I would like to say thank you. Thank you so much, Pastor Steven, Susan. Thank you for your kind invitation. Jessica and I love you guys. We thank you for your partnership in ministry, for your partnership in missions. And I know that Calvary is a place that has a heart as big as the world. And you have been touching the nations right there from Canada. So thank you for the opportunity to not only be able to speak today, but also to be able to be friends and to be able to journey together in our service to Jesus. And I know that right now we're having to do it from afar, but we are certainly looking forward to the opportunity to be together at home and to be able to say, man, the Lord has done great things. He has shown himself faithful, and we can see that the Lord is just getting started because the best is yet to come. So thank you so much. So much for the opportunity, and also a big shout out to my friends in the youth ministries. Brad, thank you for what you're doing, and I'm also looking forward to spending together some time with your youth. But without further ado, let's go together to the Word, and if you will join me in 2 Kings chapter 4, we're going to begin reading from verse 1. So 2 Kings chapter 4, a very familiar passage in Scripture, when it tells us that the wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now the creditors are coming to take my two boys as his slaves." So Elisha replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" "Your servant has nothing at all," she said, "except a little bit of oil." And Elisha said, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask just for a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons and pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to the side." So then she left him and afterwards shut the door behind her and her sons. And they brought the jars to her and she kept pouring. And when all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." But he replied, "There is no jar left." And then the oil stopped flowing. And she went and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on what is left." So Lord, thank you for your word, and thank you for the things that only you can do in our lives. We pray that today you will speak to us, that your word will do in us that which only you can do. Change us from the inside out, and move in us like never before. In your name, amen. We find here in this passage that this widow was in a very, very difficult situation. But right off the bat, I wanna set the record straight about this widow, because she was not someone that did not know the Lord, and she was not someone that didn't have faith. In fact, in the middle of her moment of desperation and in the middle of the moment of despair, she knew where to go. She knew that Facebook was not going to help her, and she knew that her friends did not hold the answers, and she knew that it wouldn't do too much to go and just pout and just be completely dismayed and distraught, saying, "Oh, poor little me." But she knew. She knew that I have to go find someone that has a word from the Lord for me. And she knew that she had to get to the place where God could bring breakthrough in our lives. So the first thing that I want to say is, when things go wrong in our lives, how we position ourselves and who we connect ourselves with can be the determining factor between breakthrough or breakdown. And she knew that things were breaking down and she needed a breakthrough. So she connected herself to someone that will point her to God. So she goes to Elijah, and don't question her theology, because she goes to the prophet and says, "Hey, I need for God to do something. I've been holding on for a while. My husband used to serve the Lord, and as a family, we believe that God can do it. But right now, my provision, my dream, my family, my inheritance is being taken away. Something needs to happen." And the prophet, very interestingly, begins to ask some questions. And the first thing that I want to bring up to you this morning is, how do you see yourself matters. You see, this widow comes to the prophet and begins to say, "Help me." And Elisha asks, "Okay, how can I help you? What do you have at home?" And you see, right there we see the first problem with this lady, because she begins to say, I have nothing. So you see, she was so wrapped in her need, and she was so wrapped in her problem, and she was so wrapped in the lack in her life that she was missing the point of the things that God had already supplied within her environment. Because first, she had her two sons, but also she had a little bit of oil. I want to tell you something, that many times what happens is we're not able to see ourselves the way that God sees us, and we're not able to see the things that He has placed within our lives as He sees them. When she was seeing that little bit of oil as just something completely insignificant and that it would not amount to much, God was seeing that little bit of oil as the key to begin to bring in her life the multiplication that He envisioned to solve her problems. Many times we underestimate the things that God has done for us. Many times we get so caught up in comparison games, and we see what God's doing in that life, or what God's doing in that ministry, or what God's doing in that workplace. And we look at what's happening in our lives and we say, oh, I really wish that I could have that. Or I really wish that God could do this. Or I really wish that I was more like them. When God in reality is looking at you and is looking at me, and He's saying, stop playing comparison games, because that's not going to help you. And begin to discern what I've already brought forth in your life, and begin to discern what I've already sown in the middle of your environment, and allow me to use what I've already placed as a seed to be able to bloom, blossom, and bear fruit. You see, a little bit of oil can amount to much if God is in it. So how we see ourselves and how we see what God had placed in our lives matters. Stop just having a negative outlook about your circumstances, because your environment does not determine what God can do in your life. But the God in your life determines what will happen in your environment. All we have to do is to welcome Him in. And when she saw nothingness, God saw potential. And when she saw lack, God saw opportunity. And when she hears the words come out of her mouth, say, I have nothing. Well, I have a little bit of oil. The lights come on in the prophet's mind, saying, that's an opportunity for God to do something. So begin to change the way how you see yourself, and begin to change the way how we think of what is going on around us. You may have a little bit of oil, and that is just enough when God is in it. So number one, how we see ourselves matter. Taking the words of the New Testament, let's not conform to what's around us to this world, but let's be transformed by the renewal of our mind. Let's allow for God to work in how we see ourselves and how we think of ourselves. Proverbs tells us, as a man thinks of it in his heart, so is he. So let's begin to think of ourselves as the people that God loves so much that He did not even withhold His Son to be able to redeem you, to be able to redeem me, to be able to give us everlasting life. And as we walk into this life, we know that Jesus say, you know, I want to give you life, and life more abundantly. I want for you to be able to experience the fullness of my capacity to be God in your life. So what I've called something, don't treat it as nothing, because I'm in it. And that little bit of oil matters. The second thing that we see in this passage is that He gives a very, very specific instruction. He says, go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask just for a few. You see, many times what happens is because we see ourselves so negatively, we diminish the expectation that we have upon God to do great things in our lives. I wonder what would have happened if Elisha was not so precise. I wonder what would have happened is if the widow says, I have a little bit of oil, and Elisha says, okay, go get some jars, and God's going to do something. I wonder if she would have just gotten like 2 or 3 or 4 jars, because she just didn't know. She didn't know how God was going to do it. She didn't know how God was going to bring the breakthrough. So maybe she would have just limited the capacity of God to do something supernatural in her life. But at that moment, Elisha is precise and say, hey, you have to raise the bar. You have to raise the expectation. You are serving the mighty God of Israel, and He's trying to do something in your life. So go and talk to all of your neighbors and get some jars. But please, do not get a few jars. Do not get just a handful. Go get as many as you can.
The words are not just a few.
Get as much as you can. Raise the expectation because God wants to do something.
You see, I think that many times we believe in God, but sometimes we struggle to believe God into what He said that He can do in your life and what He said that He can do in my life. He even say, signs and wonders will follow those who believe. But many times I think that we struggle with connecting the reality of a God who wants to move and His people that needs to move. You see, for God to be able to operate at His full potential, He's waiting for somebody that will make a move, waiting for somebody that will go ahead and step out boldly and step out in faith and say, I want to be a part of what God's doing in the world. I want to be a part of what God's doing in my community. I want to be a part of what God's doing in my church, through my church, and through the nations. So, you know, maybe it's time for us to not only allowing our environment to determine the capacity of who we are and what we can do, but also let's not allow our environment to define the capacity of our God to be able to move. Because she saw the natural as just a little bit of oil, but then she receives an instruction to be able to allow for God to operate at His full capacity in her situation. So you and I, we gotta raise the bar. We gotta set the expectation on a God type of capacity to be able to move in our midst. Because why? The angel told Mary in Luke, in at the beginning of the story of the Gospels, when it says, hey, you will conceive. And she says, how is this gonna happen? And the angel replied, God, He's gonna move. His Holy Spirit will overshadow you because nothing is impossible for God. So as God begins to move in your and my life, and as God begins to speak about the plans and the purposes that He has for us, we don't allow our limitations to set the standard for what God can do. For He can do exceedingly and abundantly more than we can think or ask or imagine according to His power that is at work in us. So as the Holy Spirit is working through you and the Holy Spirit is working through me, we don't allow the environment to limit it, and we don't allow our expectations to limit it. We believe that God can do what He says that He can do in your life, in your family, in your workplace, in every area that our hands are connected to. He can do it. So raise the bar. Raise the expectations. Don't just get one or two jars. As many as you can, because God will move. But here's the question. How does He move? Because many times we know that our environment does not limit God, that He can move. And we know that He can do incredible things, but sometimes we struggle to know how He moves in our lives. So if you will join me again in verse 4 of chapter 4, it tells us, then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons and pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side. You see, many times, we think that God is wanting to do things inside of a church building. Or many times we think that God is trying to do things in the public spheres of our lives. When in reality, the word tells us that what happens in private will be revealed in public. You see, God is trying to change our lives. God is trying to change our world. God is trying to change the realities that surround us, but that will not necessarily happen in public. He is waiting for you and for me to go ahead and grab the measure of oil that He has already deposited in our life and grab the oil that He has already provided for you and for me that is already present in our life. And then in the private places of our lives, as we're faithful to pour the oil that He has already entrusted us with, He will be willing to multiply it, and He will be able to multiply it, and He will in fact multiply it, not just in our lives, but also throughout our families. I think that it's very important that He's telling this mother to grab her children and go home and to be able to close the door, and when nobody's watching, begin to pour the oil. You see, many times we're waiting for God to bring a breakthrough and we're asking the pastor to make it happen. Or many times we are asking for a breakthrough and we believe that our friends are the ones who are going to make it happen. When in reality, you need to understand that out there, you're going to be able to buy a measure of oil. But in the privacy of your home and in the faithfulness to put to work what God has already entrusted you with, then is when the true multiplication and the true breakthrough will take place. Because what you get in the store and what you get out there will last you for a season, but true breakthrough will happen when you and I just bring before the presence of the Lord what we got and what He has already sown in our lives, and we're faithful to pour. You see, Kids Church is not gonna be able to bring your and my children to the knowledge of Jesus. You and I doing that in our home to be able to share the gospel with them, and even more importantly, being able to be the gospel to them, that is what is gonna make it happen. Your and my marriage will not be able to be fixed out there. Yes, counseling helps and all those things provide resources and provide tools for us to be able to work in it. But us being able to bring it before the Lord and faithfully pouring oil, that is what's going to make it happen. You see, you may get a sense of God's call and purpose for your life in the middle of a service. But you and I going into our prayer closet and pouring ourselves before the Lord will allow us to be able to discern the timing, the season, and the purpose of His calling for our lives. You see, breakthrough and the mechanics of breakthrough don't necessarily take place in the public spheres. But true breakthrough begins to take place when you and I are faithful to stop underestimating what He has already placed within our lives, and to bring it, grab it, and pour it before Him in the privacy of our lives. And you know what? The oil will flow. And will not only flow in your life, it will affect your family. It will affect your children. It will change your environment. That seemed like little now has all of a sudden become much, because God is in it, and it's happening in the privacy of our homes. So first, we talked. You have to be able to connect to the right people, and you have to be able to understand that God can do it. And then when you come before Him, you stop underestimating what He has placed within your life. You stop changing the way you think. You stop calling nothing what He has already entrusted you with. Why? Because you're wrestling the expectations. You're believing that God will. You're not getting one or two jars. You're getting as many as you can because you believe that the God-sized God that you have can do God-sized things. He's a specialist in the impossible, but He's not going to do it in public. He's inviting you. He's inviting me to come into the privacy of our lives to be able to understand that as we're faithful to pour our oil and as we're faithful to say, Lord, everything that we have is here. Work within us. And what begins to happen when He begins to work within us? There is some work required. Some things are going to begin to shift, because as she was pouring the oil, you know, one jar needs to come in, and then my son has to bring the other one, and then at this one field, and there's a bit of a teamwork that happens, and God may begin to just reorganize some things in your life, and reorganize some things in your home, and reorganize some things in your marriage, and reorganize some things, because there will be some moving and some shifting to take place to make sure that the oil is able to affect every single jar that is present. But here's where the trap comes. Because, you see, this oil that was multiplied, if it stayed trapped inside of four doors, it will amount to very little. This oil that begins to multiply, if it just stays in the house, it remains purposeless. But God was bringing multiplication, and God was pouring out this oil and just allowing it to flow and flow and flow, because it needed to get out of the house. It needed to get to the streets. There was something that this widow had now that it could affect her neighborhood. There was something that this widow had that could affect her community. There was something that happened in the privacy of this family that now demanded to be shared with everyone around. How do we know that? Because when she says, hey, the miracle happened, verse 7, she went and told the man of God, and he say, go and sell it all and pay your debts, and your sons can live on what is left. There's a principle here that we need to recognize, that God is not doing things in our lives for them to just remain hidden in our hearts. But what God is doing in our life, there is an expectation, there is a requirement, there is a need for this to be able to go and touch the world. You see, there are things that Surrey needs that need to multiply in your home but begin to affect your neighborhood. There are some things that cities need that need to be able to happen in your home that men can go and affect your neighbors. There are things that your nation needs, and there are things that the world needs that are waiting for somebody to believe God, to just do it in the privacy of their life, but then share it with the world. One of the things that I know about the day of Pentecost is that the moment that the Holy Spirit was poured out in that upper room and they received the visitation of the Holy Spirit, we know that this power to be able to be witnesses, automatically there was an outpouring of it that touched the streets. It couldn't just stay in the upper room. What God was doing in that room began to resonate, and the people around heard it. And then Peter and the apostles come out, and in the day of Pentecost, they're just sharing the message. This is the same Peter that is walking into the door of the temple and sees this crippled man that was waiting maybe for a little handout. And then Jesus says, you know, I don't have silver, I don't have gold, but I have something that happened in the privacy of my life that I can share with you. And his name is Jesus. Get up and walk. It's the same good message that spread throughout the old world. And it's the same message that pastors and missionaries and that you and I are invited to share with the world. Because God gave us good news. But the good news of Jesus are not for us to keep. The good news of Jesus are for us to share, to be able to share them with the world. So many times we're saying, why is breakthrough not happening in our lives? And we need to realize that breakthrough is not just connected to a need, but a breakthrough from God is also connected to purpose. And it's to be able to bring freedom and liberty to the captives. Sometimes we are them, and God will break our chains. But also, God wants to pour himself in your and my life for us to be able to bring answers to the many questions that the world around us is asking. They need for the oil that God has entrusted you to be able to be multiplied and to touch everyone around you. So church, let's go ahead and stop thinking that we don't have much. Or stop thinking that we can't. Or stop thinking that it's not going to be through me. Because God has entrusted you already with something. There is oil in your life. There is oil in my life. And when God is in it, it's more than enough. And when we're faithful to pour it in the privacy of our lives, it multiplies. And when it multiplies, it can run out of the prisons that we have put off our four walls and let it touch the world. So today, that can happen in your life. Today, it can happen in my life. That we can go ahead and in the moment of our need, bring it before the Lord and say, Lord, I believe. I believe that you can do it. I believe that you are who you say you are, and you can do what you say you can do. I'm going to stop calling what you have sown into my life nothing. I'm going to recognize it for what it is. And I'm going to raise the expectation, and in the privacy of my life, I'm going to pour that oil. And as it pours, I'm not going to hog it. I'm not going to hide it. I'm not going to keep it. I'm going to freely share it with everyone in need, because that's the purpose of breakthrough in our lives. You have a purpose, I have a purpose, and God has a purpose, and it's all connected to make sure that no one perishes, but that everyone gets eternal life through you, through me, and through us. And Jesus, we're going to be faithful. We're going to be faithful to see what you see in our lives. And we're going to recognize that you have given and sown in us so it can be multiplied and then be given away. So thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness towards us. And now discerning what you have done in our lives, we'll be faithful to you. We'll be faithful to freely give what we have freely received, because there is a world that needs the good news. And we have them. We know them. We walk with you. But as we walk with you, we're going to be faithful to share with them. In your name.